You are listening to Real Bible Answers, a weekly podcast of Life Heritage Ministries with teacher and author, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
Welcome to another edition of Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. Now, of course, we won't have a question today. We're continuing from last week, where we started looking at four principles for Bible study, and I refer to them as different contexts through which we can approach Bible study. The first that we looked at last week was the faith context, the understanding that when we approach the Bible, we must believe that it is indeed the Word of God. The second was the historical context, understanding that the Bible was not written in a vacuum, but is written to deal with real historical situations, both in secular history and in the scheme of salvation history. Now today we're going to take a look at the literary contexts and the contemporary contexts. Now, as it relates to the literary context, it's important to take four things into account. First of all, is the language of the Bible. I'm sure we all know that the Bible is not written in English. It was actually written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Now, if we really want to have a thorough understanding of what the Bible writer meant, it's good to at least have a cursory understanding of the original languages. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone has to go to seminary or college and learn the languages firsthand, but there are many resources out there that would help you to actually see what the original word is, or at least the various options that one has for translating the original words. Secondly, in addition to having a knowledge of the language, it's very important to know something about the literary genre of the book that you're studying. Every book in the Bible doesn't have the same genre. There are some books that are history, other books are prophecy, some are poetry, some are apocalyptic, some are rhetoric, and some are just some letters. For instance, the majority of Paul's letters, they're best understood as rhetoric. In other words, they were letters that were written to be heard. And so they're really letters that are basically sermons or speeches. Now, in addition to knowing something about the language and the genre of the book that's being studied, it's also necessary to know how to analyze the micro units in Scripture. When we talk about the micro units, we're talking about such things as analogies, parables, which of course are the type of analogy, maxims, laws, the way in which we can analyze poetry. For instance, in the Psalms, we find a lot of different types of poetry, like synonymous parallelism or antithetic parallelism. And there are any number of identifiable units. And so the serious student of Scripture will try to be able to recognize these units when they see them. Now, on an even more basic level, in addition to the language of Scripture, the literary genre, and the micro units, it's also necessary for the interpreter to take the grammar and the syntax seriously. Now, when we look at the grammar and the syntax, again, it is important for us to take seriously the rules of grammar. Now, when investigating the text on this level, a special attention is paid to every minute detail, because just one little nuance in grammar may change the meaning of the text. An example of this is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, when most translations say, "By grace are you saved through faith." Well, actually, when you look at the grammar in the original, the word usually translated, "Are you saved," is actually in a Greek form known as the perfect passive participle, which means that what Paul is actually saying here is that by grace, we have already been saved by grace. And of course, that's a big difference from "by grace are you saved through faith." It's speaking about a present reality. Now, having covered the literary context, there's a final context, which I call the contemporary context. And indeed, when we look at the whole enterprise of studying Scripture, hopefully it should be to see how God is speaking to us today. Now, when we look at this final context, we see that it's related somewhat to the first, the faith context, and that both of them presuppose that the Bible is authoritative. And since the Bible is indeed the living Word of God, it can and it will speak to those who listen. However, before we can apply any biblical principle, we must take seriously the contemporary situation to see if the text that we're studying is indeed analogous. One cannot be like the fundamentalist. Some of you may have heard a story about this fundamentalist who decided that the first two texts he encountered in his devotions will govern his life for the day. And then he proceeded to open the Bible with closed eyes and position his finger on the open page. And when he opened his eyes, he viewed the text which said, "Judas went out and hanged himself." Now, with blind naivety, the man repeated the process and this time stumped his finger on the text, "Go and do likewise." Now, in an effort to receive a more favorable word, he underwent the process a third time and to his horror landed on the text, "What thou doest, do it quickly." Now, of course, this may sound humorous, but we do know that many people conduct their Bible study in this way, methods that many know are proof texting or just kind of luck texting. However, when seeking contemporary meaning from the text, it is the arduous task of the interpreter to engage in the investigation of the historical and literary context before he or she can declare, "Thus says the Lord." It's not merely enough just to scratch on the surface or to blindly accept another's interpretation, but one has to really do his or her homework meticulously before the will of the Lord can be determined. One also has to be honest and humble enough to recognize that there is going to be no clear "thus saith the Lord" for every one of our contemporary situations. One also has to notice that just because the Lord may have said something in a specific historical context does not mean that if we are experiencing something in our contemporary context that may seem similar, that what the Lord said do then would be what he would say for us to do now. Nonetheless, I do believe that the voice of God can be heard if we try our best to shed our presuppositions and all of the agendas with which we approach Scripture. So in conclusion then, just summarizing what we've done for the last 2 weeks, I'd just like to state that there are indeed four principles that I believe are useful in studying Scripture. First, we need to approach Scripture through the context of faith. We need to believe that the Bible is indeed a divinely inspired book and one that can speak to us in the 21st century. Second, we need to understand the historical nature of the Bible and skillfully discern between those biblical mandates that are culturally and historically bound and those which convey a universal message. Third, we need to remember that the Bible is written in languages and literary genres that were once used in everyday intercourse. Therefore, the words therein are not from a cryptic lexicon or any secret sort of dictionary, but can be understood when a person approaches the Bible with the right tools. Finally, when one wishes to apply the lessons of the Bible to one's contemporary context, it is necessary to be willing to accept the results of one's search for meaning, even if it goes against one's personal opinions. I do trust and hope that this helps, and all the best as you dig deeper into the Word of God. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Real Bible Answers. If you have a Bible question for Dr. Burton, you may send it to BibleAnswers@lifeheritage.org. Again, that's BibleAnswers@lifeheritage.org, or you can send it via MP3 to BibleAnswers@podomatic.com. That's BibleAnswers@podomatic.com. Feel free to visit the Life Heritage webpage on www.lifeheritage.org, from where you can access a number of services to help your spiritual life. We also appreciate your donations, which can be given securely online with your credit card, or if you prefer, you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.